Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, seed of wisdom, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with our letters, letter 102. In our blue book.
Letter number 102, In Voluntate Dei. My good daughter in the divine volition, let us bury everything in the divine will. May it be our refuge, our defense, our life, the light which envelops us from everywhere, and which, if it wants it so, can also eclipse our enemies. Blessed daughter, do we want to put everything in a safe place, sanctity, and the very life of Jesus within us? Let us do the divine will. Let us live in it more than if it were our own life. And oh, how happy we will feel living of divine will. Heaven will be ours with certainty. Each tiniest act done in it, even a trifle, storms heaven. It is like a little visit that we make to the celestial fatherland. So, if we want to be at peace, because peace must be our daily bread, let us not think of what has happened. Jesus will have more interest than us in thinking about it. And since centuries are like a single point for him, whatever he does not do today, he will do tomorrow and will triumph victoriously over those who have been opposed. Our sufferings will serve to make them know the truth, and as I hope, also to become saints. Let us not lose our place of honor of living in the divine will. Let us content ourselves with dying rather than not do the divine will. In it, we will feel a divine strength. We will love God for all. We will be the true children who console their celestial Father. It is true that the times are sad, and who knows where we will end up. But if we do the divine will and live in it, Jesus will come and take refuge in us, because he will find his own will offering him his own heaven, his worthy dwelling. Therefore, courage and trust. With courage, we will challenge everyone, and with trust, we will live safely in the heart and in the arms of our sweet Jesus. Our Queen Mama will take us on her knees and will keep us hidden under her blue mantle. I leave you in the divine volition to make yourself a saint. I recommend to you, let us not change in the different circumstances of life. Many times they serve to make us copy and imitate our dear Jesus. Pray for me, for I so much need it, as I will do for you from the heart. Leaving you enclosed in the divine volition that you may never again get out of it. With maternal affection, I greet you and I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You see, one of the things that we see here in this letter, or in all the letters that Luisa Picaretta writes, is that constant spiritual advice, now knowing that the divine will, as she says here, eclipse all our enemies. And this is not only we say physical enemies, but also spiritual enemies, like all the tendencies that we know they remain after baptism. We call them, the church calls that, the concupiscence, which is the inclination to sin. Then when Luisa Picaretta is talking about all the enemies, we also take it that the physical and the spiritual, that he will help us overcome all of these, because at the spiritual level, he is refining all of us. The divine will is remaking us, redoing its work in all of us, with the purpose of making basically another Jesus. And we know that during this time, it is this work, the whole work of the divine will, the writings, is the work of the Holy Spirit, who has to accomplish all of this in the creature. And that work began, of course, it begins in baptism, but in the whole church, it begins in Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the church, now making Jesus known. And then it was necessary so that we come to know this gift. Luisa Picaretta tells us here that even the tiniest act down in union with the divine will, even those little things storm heaven. Of course, if everything is united with the will of God, that's what happens. You know, one of the important things here is about this gift is that the union that happens in heaven when the soul leaves the body and goes before the Blessed Trinity, the beatific vision that the church teaches us, which is nothing else but to see God face to face, begins right here. That spiritual marriage, that marriage between the soul and God, begins here. And with this gift, it really advances us in that spiritual life. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas, when he talks about the divine, I mean, that union of the soul with God, he begins by saying that the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, which are given to us in baptism, and are theological virtues that are infused in our soul, that they infuse grace in us, allowing us to share in the divine life right there. God begins sharing his divine life. We say divine because he's divine. So he shares his life with the creature in baptism, and he begins that process. And he shares himself, so all the goodness, all the beauty, everything that God is begins there. And we know he gave us the gift of faith to enable us, to enable the intellect to know God, and then also the gift of faith that directs us towards that vision, and of course the gift of charity that unites the soul with God. It begins uniting the soul with God here. And Thomas Aquinas says that when the soul arrives before God, then the virtue of faith basically disappears. So imagine that the soul releases a little flame and it just disappears in God, because you don't need faith anymore. You see the vision right there. This goes along with what St. Paul will tell us in the letter to the Corinthians, that of all those gifts, faith, hope, the only one that remains is love. So for those who then see that vision, hope again comes out as a little flame, and it is dissolved, it burns out in the presence of God. It's been dissolved because you don't need hope anymore. Those who are not ready, then that hope remains. It does not burn away. Hope remains with them because they have to go to purgatory. And the only thing that keeps them alive there is that they saw already the vision of God, And now they are hoping that one day they will obtain it, that they have that assurance that they will have it whenever they finish the process of being purified, refined in that fire of love, which is consuming love. The souls are consumed by the love they have for God. That God is loving them, and they already saw that, so they know that they will possess that. So they are growing in basically in love. But for those who are ready, then faith just disappears, it burns out. And then the last gift comes out, the gift of love or charity comes out, and it doesn't burn away. It has the virtue to unite the soul with God. And forever having that eternal embrace of perfection, of eternal joy, perfect and eternal joy, perfect and eternal goodness with God, perfect and eternal happiness, perfect and eternal beauty, and all that God is. So they begin now living in that. They enter into God, and forever they will be learning that, loving God, and all of that. But here, that's what happens when the soul goes out of the body. But this is what happens when we enter into the union of the divine will by our free will. Now we enter into that mode. Now the soul begins to be a little more united. The gift of love begins then to function in the way it was supposed to function in the beginning, when we possess, when Adam possessed the gift of the divine will, that constantly, out of love for God, he was doing everything. So he was being united at every moment with every single action he was doing more perfectly. So he was growing in that union. So that union now, as I said, begins in baptism. It has to continue in us. And now with this gift that we know through the writings of Luisa Picaretta, it just becomes a path for us and a way for us to constantly be living now the life of heaven. So we can say, as the Catechism says in number 162, when the Catechism talks about faith, that we begin living eternal life here by faith. So, yes, by faith in believing that our Lord Jesus is giving us this gift, and believing that when we are united to his will, we begin to participate, to share the divine life with God in this way. It's a very simple way. It requires for us to have that faith to ascend to God, it requires to have the knowledge. So again, here we talk about faith in the church in two ways: faith as a gift, as a supernatural gift given to us in baptism. So that constitutes one wing of the soul, and then faith as knowledge of the faith of what the church teaches us, the deposit of faith. Basically, when we say the deposit of faith, is all the teachings that our Lord gave to the disciples, and they continue to pass on, and that the church has discerned, the fathers of the church, the doctors of the church, discerning, trying to understand the person of our Lord Jesus. So now we understand not only his humanity, but we understand what his divinity was doing in his humanity, his divine nature was doing in his human nature. So then the second wing of the soul is knowledge. So that's why it's important not only to be baptized and have that gift, but also to have the knowledge, the intellectual knowledge, what we are doing here, trying to understand this gift. And by faith basically seeking the understanding of it, the understanding of this way of living. And this is what Luisa Picaretta is doing, explaining the gift to the people she writes, giving this spiritual advice. And since she knows this gift already, she possesses this gift, she has learned how to live in this way. So she's leading us to the same path. Jesus is leading us to heaven. And basically, that's what we are called to do, to bring heaven to everybody and to lead everybody to heaven. And this is what the divine science does. We begin to live the life of heaven, that union that the saints have in heaven. We begin to live it here right now through this gift. So, this is what the gift is all about. And of course, since heaven is perfection, perfect love, perfect happiness, perfect fulfillment, and is perfection, so yes, this gift has to refine us a little by little, getting rid of our enemies, both physical and spiritual. The spiritual, that is concerned about our souls. So all those tendencies that pull us back, that keep us from growing in. So this is what the Lord promises. Once we enter in this mode of living, that a little by little they will be disappeared. That where you found pleasure in the worldly things, a little by little you will be detached of those things. You will be set free from those things, and you will not be so attached on those things. So let's continue with the second letter tonight.
Letter number 103 to Teresa in Voluntate Dei. My good daughter in the divine volition, I send you the divine will as life, help, support, and perennial company in which to hide in your sufferings. It will welcome you with love. It will carry you in its arms as its beloved daughter. Every pain you will suffer together with it will embellish you with new beauty. It will give you new love. It will make you grow in sanctity. So your state of suffering is nothing but a divine crafting, which it is doing in your soul. If you are attentive in receiving this work, it will make of you a prodigy of its grace, a triumph of its love, a victory of its most holy will. Therefore, my daughter, I recommend that you never move away from the holy will of God. Call upon it in every instant, in every pain, in all circumstances. If you do so, you will feel its divine strength, its company, which can never leave a creature who is calling it alone. On the contrary, it is anxiously waiting for her call to give her a kiss, a hug, a smile of love, and to say to the ear of her heart, "Tell me, what do you want? I am here with you. Everyone can leave you, but I never. Rather, I feel happy to be together with one who suffers because I find sufficient raw material to carry out my divine crafting, to make her grow as I want, and as a child who belongs to me. Therefore, with all my affection, I send you the greeting of the fiat, that you may remain enclosed in it without ever leaving. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, November 2nd, 1941. Amen, fiat."
Thank you. In the previous letter, also, what Luisa Picarreta recommended is the element of constancy. In the writings of Maria Valtorta, our Lord constantly mentions one book of the Bible that he says is it should be the base also for understanding, and that's the Book of Wisdom. The Book of Wisdom talks about this constancy and how much wisdom is loves discipline. We are talking about here spiritual discipline now in this particular context, that In the things of God, constancy is important. We don't want to be inflated balloons, right? As he mentions in the Book of Heaven, so constancy is important. Now, the other element that we see in this letter is the sufferings. And you know, the church doesn't teach that we have to go around looking for suffering. That's not what the church teaches. What the church teaches is that when suffering comes, we should not waste it. We should unite it to God. And the way the church teaches us to unite our suffering to the sufferings of Christ is through the sacrament of anointing of the sick. You read the instructions of the anointing of the sick in the catechism, in the section of the sacraments, which is the second section of the catechism. You go to the sacrament of the sick and you see all the effects and the fruits. And one of them is that it unites the suffering of the sick person with the sufferings of Christ. That's one way to unite it. So that has to be, in a way, clarified that the church doesn't teach just to go around and seek suffering. No. When suffering comes, don't waste it, use it because you can obtain so much. Now, it teaches us to do little sacrifices, to deprive ourselves of doing something, fasting or almsgiving. That's part of the teaching, but not going around looking for suffering. Elizabeth Garreta, when she advises this, I think it's a religious. I'm not sure if it's a religious, but it says, "My good daughter in the divine will," to Teresa. I don't think she's a religious, but I assume she knows about her suffering that she's going through. And what she's saying that is like, don't waste your suffering because those moments are moments of grace, basically, if we know how to use them. They will bring so much great grace to all of us, so much grace, even to the souls in purgatory, right? That suffering that we obtain, I mean, that we offer, it can obtain so much for the souls in purgatory that they cannot do anything there but to remain there, be there, but we are able to bail them out through our suffering, through our offering. And in exchange, they will be compelled forever to extend their protection upon us, upon the souls who allow them, who help them to go out to receive the beatific vision faster. So, in this way, we use those occasions as stepping stones to ascend to heaven, to grow in sanctity and holiness. And to grow in this union that we are talking about, the soul being united with God, but beginning here, not waiting until we die and face the judgment and the beatific vision. No, beginning here in this way. So this is how then the Blessed Trinity triumphs over the human will, that we begin here. And then when she says, call upon the divine will in every instant, right? To have that constancy, that spiritual discipline, basically, to have that constant awareness of wanting the divine will operating in us. And we already saw it in other parts of the Book of Heaven. Elizabeth Garreta tells us here that the divine will never leave the creature who is calling it alone. Yeah, never will leave the creature alone. On the contrary, it will be anxious to give her all that the divine will is, to pour everything that the divine will is into that soul and to say, "Here I am with you. I am happy to be together with the one who suffers because I find sufficient material. Raw material to carry my divine crafting." So yes, that those are moments of grace, and this is how we are called to see it instead of rejecting or turning against God. Yes, asking for the grace to be patient. I know it can be difficult, but we must have the assurance that the Lord is there with us, that His divine will is constantly with us. And I will say that begin also asking for His divine wisdom. Wisdom is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I will say, we really have to become friends with wisdom. We really have to beg the Lord also to send His wisdom from on high and to make His house in each one of us. That's, I think, something that goes along with this gift of the divine will. Because wisdom was present there at the beginning of the whole thing. Wisdom is the instrument through which God creates, and wisdom is related to the second person of the Blessed Trinity. So begging wisdom to come and be with us, to accompany us. And if we ask the Lord to give us that, it will be easier also to assimilate these writings, because wisdom will be instructing us. The Blessed Mother is the seat of wisdom. She was directed by wisdom herself, wisdom abiding in her at every moment. So is this whole idea is so, I think it's so powerful to be guided by wisdom to enter into the divine will and to remain there in that perfect union that one day we hope to enjoy, but begin here. While we are here, and to have that constancy in us, right? That's the way. We know that we learned already in other passages of the Book of Heaven that we have to offer everything, right? That everything from now on, everything that we go through and experience through has to have one objective, the kingdom of the divine will to descend upon earth. That the fulfillment of the Our Father, and if we do this, of course we are a store. Elisabeth Picaretta mentions this, uses this word. We will be storming heaven. This is the way to storm heaven with our prayers, right? I think Mother Teresa used to use this term to storm heaven with our prayers. Now we storm heaven with our acts. And not only that, but we use all the acts of all the saints, of all the blessed in heaven, we claim them, we remember them, we offer them, and for one purpose, for the divine will to descend upon earth. And also, so I think, this is so powerful. If we ask the Lord to give us wisdom for the purpose of the kingdom of the divine will to descend upon earth as it reigns in heaven, I don't think he will deny us that gift. We just have to make room in us, preparation in us. And if we ask the Blessed Mother to obtain that for us, she will do it. Because this is, as long as we ask for these gifts with the purpose of bringing the kingdom of the divine will to reign on earth. And as long as the dispositions are in our soul, meaning that we are in the state of grace, that we try to be, that we work hard on that, that we have the true desire. Now, we are not going to be perfect while we are here. That's the other reality that we have to face, because we are in our human nature and we are imperfect. We suffer the consequence. Even after baptism, we suffer the consequence, which is concupiscence. And this is what we have to work on over and over and over and over. But that's okay. That's okay. As long as we keep working on that, we will be able to advance. But if we ask for the gift of wisdom to be guided, and also asking so that the gift of the divine will may descend, he will bestow it upon us. And what a better time to ask it while we have time and we are awaiting, Pentecost. For those who know the divine will, this should be a very special time. Constantly begging the Lord to send His Holy Spirit upon us through the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Begging and begging and begging our Lord to bring that gift. Why? Through the Blessed Mother. Because the Lord says He can do without the Blessed Mother, but He doesn't want to. He wants to use her, our mother, to possess what she possesses. So she is the mediator of all graces that are given to us. They pass through her maternal hands. So this is what are presented here with this idea of offering everything for the divine will to descend and not to waste any suffering. Again, no going around just looking for suffering, but when it comes, just don't waste it. It's a time of grace, a time of spiritual growth. And it seems contradicted, but this is the way the gospel is contradictory, right? So we are people of faith, and this gift has to be lived in that way. By faith, we believe, and we ask the guidance of wisdom to help us understand these writings. And I think we will be in the right path of advancing in this spiritual life through the divine science. Let's continue with the next letter.
Letter number 104 to Federico Abresh, In Voluntate Dei. My most esteemed son in the divine volition, here I am for you to tell you to always hide in the divine fiat. We will be safe in it. All evils will flee from us. We will secure sanctity. In each one of our acts, even natural, because our nature was given to us by God, we will be invested with new beauty, with new love, with new divine strength. If we live in the divine volition, even our breath, our steps, our motion run within the breathing, in the steps, and in the motion of all. To give back to God love for each breath, prayer for each step, glory for every motion. The divine will is everywhere, and we, by living in it, find ourselves in heaven and on earth to love Him with all, in all, and in every place. The saints, the Queen of Heaven, and God Himself anxiously await the I love you of one who lives in his will, because it is a new gain that they make. The I love you of the earth resounds in heaven, in each blessed, in the seas of the celestial mama, and says to all, I love you, I love you. One can say that heaven and earth exchange the kiss of love and celebrate together. Therefore, may we take to heart living always in the divine will. In it, we will form seas of love, seas of adoration, seas of glory to give to our Creator. I leave you in the divine volition together with little Puccio and Amelia. Make yourselves saints, but saints of divine will. It will carry you in its womb. It will hold you tightly to its breast. It will feed you with its breath. It will make you feel its life palpitating in you. How happy you will be. With all my heart, I send you my regards together with the fiat. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, November 4th, 1941. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. I don't know about you, but this letter is really powerful for me. When Luisa Picaretta talks about that in the divine volition, even the breath, our steps, our motions, every step, every prayer, anything. Will give glory to God forever. And then he says that the saints, the Queen of Heaven, and they wait anxiously. They await the I love you of each one of us. This is the way she says, she says, the divine will is everywhere, and we, by living in it, find ourselves in heaven and on earth to love him with all and in all and in every place. This is very powerful. This is a way to bilocate spiritually. This is a way to spiritually bilocate into heaven. To let, whenever we center, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you, knowing that the saints, the Blessed Mother, and that God Himself anxiously await the I love you of the creature, of the one who lives in the divine will. Not only of every creature, but most importantly, the one who lives in the divine will, because the one who lives in the divine will is able to penetrate heaven in that way, to have that divine spiritual connection, so to bilocate basics spiritually. And then at the end, she says, make yourselves saints. But she says, but saints of the divine will. What does this mean? Saints of the divine will. We have been talking about this, and it basically has become the basis of the foundation for our classes during these 2 months, I guess. What does it mean to be a saint now in the divine will? Well, again, that everything is directed towards the coming of the kingdom, towards loving God. Isn't that simple? That everything is directed towards loving God. Everything is directed towards that, towards the fulfillment of the Our Father, basically. And he's given us the chance to bilocate ourselves, to penetrate heaven through our I love yous. And that heaven is waiting to hear this I love you of the creature, the one who lives in the divine will, and that this makes resound. You know, in the Salve Regina, we say, heaven and earth resound the hymn. Salve, salve, salve Regina. So, this is a way that it really resounds in all the heaven. The I love you of the creature. And I want to go to the Book of Heaven, volume 14, is May 19, 1922. At the end of that paragraph, our Lord Jesus says the following to Luisa Picarreta. He says about the saints, it says, "You will drink the whole of my will with all the goods it contains, as though in one gulp. In another gulf, you will emit it outside. And while you do this, you will multiply my life and my goods as many times, for as many times as you drink it, and for as many times as you emit it. And if the blessed in heaven," so this is, "if the blessed in heaven enjoy all the beatitude which my will contains and live in it as in their own centers, they do not, however, multiply it, since their merits are fixed in them. You are happier than they are, being able to multiply my life, my will, my goods in them. My will is the beatifier. In you, it is operative," meaning it's active. "And I ask of your acts in order to multiply myself. When you operate, I look anxiously to see whether you operate in my will, to receive the contentment of seeing myself multiply in my act. How attentive you should be, and let nothing escape on." And of course, that becomes the context of the famous prevenient act and the actual act. So, what our Lord Jesus is saying there, that the saints in heaven, they are not able to multiply because they are fixed now in God Himself. But they await anxiously for us to multiply basically their glory, to allow them to come to know more of God in one simple, "I love you." And what give, greater give we can give to them if we is call upon all the good that all the saints in heaven have done, remembering them and offering all the good that they have done for this purpose, for the purpose of the divine will to descend upon earth as it rains in heaven. Even the ones in the Old Testament, you know. Let's put an example, you know. King David, he wanted to build a temple of for God, and he was not allowed, but it was given to King Solomon. And they did it to honor God. Right? But what about if we offer now all the good that King David and King Solomon and all that they did for the kingdom of divine will to descend upon earth as it reigns in heaven? Now, their acts will be perfected. They will receive so much glory because we were advancing towards that, towards the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. And the purpose of the coming of the Messiah is to reconcile us, to finally get recovered the gift that we lost. So whenever we read sacred scripture and we go through the passages, right, whenever we read the Psalms, we offer those Psalms for that purpose. Whenever we pray our liturgy from now on, is not only to ask, is not only to pray for the church, but now to pray for the kingdom to come. That's what Luisa Picaretta means when she says, "Make yourselves saints." Yes, but she emphasizes, "But saints of the divine will." The simple "I love you," the creature resounds in heaven, and the celestial mama, and all, right, they benefit. Heaven and earth exchange the kiss of love and celebrate together. See, this bond of love that the soul experiences in heaven and understands it now through the intellect without any word. Now the soul, all the blessed day, they understand it just by seeing it. We can begin that life here now, experiencing that bond of love spiritually, internally. When I say spiritually, internally, is that we don't see it. We don't see ourselves being filled with so much light, with so much grace infused in us. But one day we will see it. Remember, one act is one sun more beautiful than the others. And what does it mean that the divine will has to expand in on earth, meaning that more people will come to know about this knowledge, and they will come to accept it. It will reign in the souls, because in creation is already reigning in creation. All creation is fixed in the will of God. So what does it mean for the kingdom of the divine will to come? Yes, that more souls will come to know this gift and to accept it, to embrace it, to live in it until they possess it. So this is the new sanctity, saints, but saints in the divine will, right? Because this, then everything will be perfected. Everything will fall into place in us. So again, we need that. We need that constant reminder, and with that, we need that guidance. So let us ask for wisdom. Wisdom. Let's try to see if we can go through the next letter today. We are flying today.
Letter number 105 to Mother Cecilia, In Voluntate Dei. My good and reverend mother, I feel the duty to send you my wishes for your name day of Saint Cecilia. She was a martyr of blood, and I wish you a greater martyrdom, more noble and divine, more heroic and more accepted by God. That is the martyrdom of the divine will. This martyrdom surpasses all other martyrdoms. Even more, as many times as you do the will of God instead of doing your own, so many times you will be able to say, I am martyr for you. The martyrdom I offer you is not of blood or of flesh, but with my will united to yours. I offer you a divine martyrdom. Goodness of God, if only our acts enter the divine volition, everything is changed into divine in us, and what is human no longer has life. Here is my wish. I could not send you a more beautiful one. More so, since the opportunities are not lacking. In all circumstances, even painful, you will have a refuge in which to take shelter. Jesus is waiting for you with open arms to receive you and to help you to form within you the noble martyrdom of the divine will. Now let's come to us. The Lord has permitted that you go far away without even seeing each other. Fiat, fiat. And it also seems that you want to forget me. Fiat to this as well. But I beg you to never forget to pray for me. Poor creature, and from the heart, I will do it for you. It seems to me that I had in you a faraway mother who had a thought for me. Now, Fiat, let us remain always united in the divine will, from which we will draw the strength and the sanctity he wants from us. My sister sends you her wishes and kisses your right hand. And I leave you in the divine volition to make yourself a saint. Pray for me, kissing your hand, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. One of the things that I want to highlight here is that notice that in living this gift of the divine will, the saints of the past are not disregarded. And this is something that We have to keep in mind, because believe it or not, there are some people, some misinterpretations that they think that, well, now this new sanctity leaves behind all those saints and we don't need to honor them. That's the wrong approach. We have learned now that over and over now we offer the martyrdom, we call upon the martyrdom of Saint Cecilia, we offer it to the Lord, we remember it, we call it, remember it, and offer it so that it be perfected. Now, it's not only the a martyrdom of blood out of love for Jesus, but now it becomes a martyrdom asking for the kingdom of the divine will to descend. So we can say that now we have given that little crown that the martyrdom of Saint Cecilia was missing. Now she should be so happy now, right? That somebody has offered this for the gift of the divine will to descend upon earth, meaning that other people will come to know this gift and pray for it. So the divine martyrdom is the constant offering of our will, right? Offering ourselves in service to the Lord in whatever vocation He has called us, you know? It's a martyrdom for all of us to give up our will. Offering yourself constantly, constantly, right there where the Lord called you, as a mother, as a father, as a religious, you give yourself in service over and over and over and over. It's a martyrdom of love. It's a constant martyrdom. It's a martyrdom of the divine will. We become the martyrs, right? But martyrs in the divine will, saints, of the divine will. This is the new idea that we offer this martyrdom. And Luisa Picaretta says, you don't have the excuse to say that the opportunities are lacking, right? In the past, the first Christians, they experienced persecution. Someone can say, well, we are not going to face that persecution as they face it. So I don't have the opportunity to become a martyr. No, here there is not an excuse. The opportunities are not lacking because it's at every moment, right? What a better way to offer our will whenever we go to Mass, that our Lord Jesus is offering Himself to the Father. So that's a perfect occasion also for us to offer our will, ourselves, everything that is in our hearts with the Lord, and asking also the Blessed Mother to offer us along with her Son, and asking the Heavenly Father to accept us together with His Son. And again, asking the Holy Spirit to give us that strength to remain always in that union of the divine will, the human will that wages war upon us always, right? To be able to overcome that with the grace that flows from Him, from the Holy Spirit. It is I think it's also Saint Thomas Aquinas that says that in heaven it is the Holy Spirit who is constantly, constantly, constantly bringing that knowledge to the soul, everything that the Blessed Trinity is moving the soul around, 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 and helping the soul to navigate in that eternal sea of light, a radiance of everything that God is. Let me see. Maybe we have time to go through a little passage from volume 13. Here is January 14, 1922. There is a little vision there of what the divine will, the Blessed Trinity is. Let me see. Luisa Picaretta says, I found myself outside of myself and I saw the heavens open and a light inaccessible to any creature, rays descended from within this light, which invested all creatures, celestial, terrestrial, and purging, meaning those in purgatory. Some rays were so dazzling that though remaining invested, enraptured, delighted, one will not know how to repeat anything of what they contain. Other rays were less dazzling, and one will be able to repeat the beauty, the happiness, the truth which they contain. But the power of the light that was so great, I myself didn't know whether my little mind will ever be capable of going back into myself again. And my Jesus had not stirred me, if my Jesus had not stirred me with his words, no human force could have pulled me back from that light to call me back to life. But alas, I am not yet worthy of my dearest and celestial fatherland. My unworthiness forced me to wander in exile, but oh, how hard this is for me. Then my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter, let us go back together into your bed. What you see is the most holy Trinity, which holds all creatures as though in the palm of its hand. And as though form its mere breath, it gives life and preserves, it purchases and delights. There is no creature which does not hang upon it. Its light is inaccessible to created mind. If anyone wanted to enter, it will happen to him as to a person who will want to enter into a great fire. Not having sufficient heat and power to withstand this fire, he will be consumed by the fire. Therefore, being extinguished, he will never be able to tell either how much or what kind of heat that fire contained. The rays are the divine virtues. Some virtues are less adaptable to the created mind. This is why the created mind is delighted. It sees them, but is unable to repeat anything. The other virtues, which are more adaptable to the human mind, can be described. But like a stammerer will, because one can speak about them in a way that is right and worthy. The virtues which are more adaptable or more understandable to the human mind are love, mercy, goodness, beauty, justice, science. Therefore, together with me, let us send out our homage in the name of all, to thank it, praise it, and bless it for so much goodness to our all creatures. So these are the divine attributes that are more understandable, that are more adaptable to the human mind: love, mercy, goodness, beauty, justice, science, because the uncreated light and life, the uncreated mind, which is God, right, is not, it cannot be penetrated or accessed by the simple human mind. For this, we need the grace of wisdom again to guide us to understand a little by little. So you see, all of this is needed, all the what we have in the church, especially that gift of wisdom, is needed to penetrate this divine science and to be able to advance. So let us ask our Lord Jesus to give us that grace, to give us wisdom for one purpose, for the gift of the divine will to descend upon earth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Seed of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.